بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, without doubt there is nothing that is as great, all encompassing and as intense as the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expressed this fact in more than one ayah of the Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also expressed this to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in by way of illustration and by citing many examples and parables related to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is so intense, and it is all-encompassing, and it is so great, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhibits and He displays that mercy in many different ways and different forms. To understand this point, let us cite an example, and examples are cited only for our understanding. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَىٰ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond any example, beyond any parable. But for our understanding, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke of certain attributes of Allah azza wa jal, and to make us understand the intensity of that attribute, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had cited certain examples as well. So to understand this point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His mercy is so intense and it is so encompassing that He displays it and expresses it in different ways and in different forms. You have a person, you have a man who is very, very generous, and he is known for his generosity, and his generosity is mashallah renowned. And along with the generosity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with abundant wealth. So you find that this person, when he exhibits his generosity and when he exercises that attribute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with, he exercises it and he displays it and he exhibits it in many different ways, different forms. And his charities are not confined to one avenue. So when there's an opportunity to contribute towards the construction of a masjid, he's at the forefront. When there is an opportunity for him to contribute towards the upkeep and the maintenance of an Islamic institute, he's at the forefront. When there's an opportunity to contribute towards the betterment and the upliftment of the society and the upliftment and the betterment of education, he is there. And when you see him expressing his generosity in all these different ways, then that is a clear indication of how deep and how intense that generosity of his is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the ways in which he expresses and exhibits, displays this rahmah of his, is by creating human beings with certain disparities and distinctions. This is an exhibition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. There's this imbalance when it comes to the material things of this world that we own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed certain people with much. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them an abundant provision. And then you find others who have not been given as much as certain others. This disparity and this imbalance is in reality an exhibition, and it is a display of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person whom Allah has blessed with a lot of wealth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with abundance, with affluence, He has reached that point and he has reached that high level because of the services, the assistance and the help of those who were not given as much as he was given. Hence, the existence and the disparity, the imbalance between the two is in reality an exhibition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that he is enjoying. And the one who is less fortunate and who has not been given as much as he was given, that person is in need of the provisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed that person with. So this imbalance we find when it comes to the material things of this world is an exhibition of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one benefits from the other, the one cannot do without the other. And like this we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned ikhtilaf ummati rahmah. There are differences that will exist within the ummah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it is a form of Allah expressing his rahmah. So not only do we find that an imbalance in material things is an exhibition of Allah's mercy, but even in deen itself. Similarly, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created days, and he has created months, and he has created nights, and he has created time itself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has awarded certain significance or certain privileges to specific days over others, to specific months over others, to specific nights over others. The day of Jumu'ah, we know it is special and it is significant and it is different from every other day. And because of the disparity, because there's a difference between today and tomorrow, and there's a difference between today and the day that you witnessed yesterday, because of that difference, because of that disparity that exists between the two, it's a form of mercy, and that is why you find on the day of Jumu'ah, I am more attracted towards acts of virtue, piety, and activities that will enhance my spiritual self. If today was an ordinary day, we would not have found the masajid filled to capacity. But because there is that disparity, and there is a difference that Allah created in time, which is an exhibition of His mercy. Now, you find that there are certain moments during the year which enjoy significance, superiority, preference over other days, moments and times. The latter part of the night, the last portion of the night, is the best part of the day. So that moment enjoys significance. Why? Because of the disparity, because of the difference, the distinction between that part of the night and every other portion of the day. Hence, the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the ways He expresses His mercy and exhibits this intense grace of His is by creating time with disparity. So you find there are differences in certain days and certain seasons of the year. We are 1 week away from experiencing the best season of worship. And that is the first 10 days of the Dhul-Hijjah. The moment the Hilal is sighted for the Dhul-Hijjah, you are now entering a special, extremely, very special, significant time of the year. It is no ordinary time. And again, look at that and consider that as an exhibition and a display, expression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah and His mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks of the first 10 days and 10 nights of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, in Surah Al-Fajr, in the opening ayat, more than one oath, more than one qasam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes on the significance and the importance and the greatness of these days and nights that, insha'Allah, we will experience in a week's time from now. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ
وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam. Allah says, وَالْفَجْرِ. وَالْفَجْرِ, by the dawn. Allah takes qasam on a specific dawn, a specific morning, a specific dawn. Which dawn is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to? وَالْفَجْرِ, the morning and the dawn of the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. The 10th of Dhul Hijjah is the day of Eid. The 10th of Dhul Hijjah is the day when we will offer sacrifices for Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam and when He takes an oath, it is to highlight the significance and the importance of the thing on which He takes a qasam and an oath. Wal Fajr. So Allah takes a qasam on the dawn of the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Walayalin Ashr. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes another qasam and He takes another oath. Takes a qasam and an oath, He says, and by the 10 nights, by the 10 nights. Which 10 nights is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to? The 10 nights of the first 10 days of the Hijjah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a unique, generally you don't find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking an oath in this manner, where He first takes an oath on the entire season perhaps, and then from within that season, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath on certain components within the season. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off with taking a qasam on al-fajr, the dawn of the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, then all the days and nights of the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, wa layalin ash, then Allah says, wa shaf'i. Allah takes qasam on al-shaf'i. After taking qasam on al-shaf'i, Allah takes qasam on al-witr. What's al-shaf'i? By the even day. Al-shaf'i refers to the even day. Again, on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. So the dawn of Dhul Hijjah, the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah, wa shaf'i. Al-shaf'i means the even day, wal-watr. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam on al-watr. Al-watr, the odd day from the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and that is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, which is the day of Arafah, the day preceding the day of Eid. Subhanallah. What a unique way. What a beautiful method of taking an oath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to every moment, every aspect, every little season or little period and time within the first 10 days and nights of Dhul Hijjah. So from this we understand that it is indeed a great season of worship. We experienced one season of worship about 2 months back, the month of Ramadan, not too long ago, right? And after the month of Ramadan, many of us already, we might have dipped in our spirituality. We might have dipped in our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affords us this unique moment and this great opportunity to once again enhance our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. The difference is, you know, the last 10 days and nights of the month of Ramadan, and will come, there is a discussion amongst the scholars as to which is better, the last 10 nights and 10 days of Ramadan, or the first 10 nights and 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. But in Ramadan, the advantage was we had the 20 days and the 20 nights in order to prepare ourselves spiritually to receive the last 10 days and last 10 nights of Ramadan. We don't have that advantage here, but we can start now. We have a week to prepare ourselves and to start considering and engaging in those acts and deeds that will enhance and prepare ourselves spiritually, so that when that moment comes and when that moment arrives, we are already in a good momentum. It's all about building the momentum. Building the momentum, getting the spirituality up to a good level, so that when the first of the Hijjah commences, I can then take it to a higher level, to the next level. And then when the best day of the year comes, which is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah, the day before the day of Eid, then I'm right up there where I need to be, where I was on Laylatul Qadr. Okay, so let it start from now. Let us not wait for the 1st of Dhul Hijjah to commence and then feel I'm going to start dedicating myself and exerting myself to a greater extent. By then you already want to be beyond the warm-up session. That's the main session, the main training session. So let us start the warm-up session from now, so that when the time arrives, when the time comes, we are ready in a good momentum and we are ready hitting our straps. So that's the first place in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of these great days and nights of the Hijjah. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah says, Wadhkurullah fi ayyamin ma'lumat. Allah says, and make the dhikr of Allah. Remember Allah during al-ayyam al-ma'lumat. Al-ayyam al-ma'lumat, Allah says, these are known days. They are known days. They are recognized days. So another title given to these days and nights of the Hijjah, al-ayyam al-ma'lumat. And what does Allah want from you? What does Allah want from you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wadhkurullah. Remember Allah. And what is dhikr? Of course, one form is dhikr, the form of dhikr that we are all familiar with, where we remember Allah, we take the name of Allah, tasbih of Allah, tahmeed of Allah, the tahleel of Allah. That's one form of dhikr. Dhikr is every act of worship that reminds you of Allah. So recitation of the Quran is a form of dhikr. Our salah that we perform is a form of dhikr. All these deeds and activities that enhance our spirituality and that remind us of Allah, these are all deeds and actions that fall under the category of dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's what I want from you. During the 10 days and 10 nights of the Hijjah, wadhkurullah, engage in those activities, exert yourself in those deeds and those actions that will remind you of me, and it will bring you closer to me, the way we did in Ramadan. Right? And here we're going to exert ourselves to a greater extent during the days of the Hijjah. And this can only be achieved, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and engaging in these type of actions that remind us of Allah and bring us closer to Allah, is if we draw up an action plan. Right? So we have these few days to prepare ourselves before that special season of mercy and special season of worship arrive. Let us have an action plan. Let us have a timetable. Let us draw up, if it means I literally draw up a timetable. Right? If that's what works for you, then do it. How are you going to spend your days? How you are going to spend your nights? What type of ibadat you want to focus on and carry out during those 10 days and 10 nights? You have an action plan perhaps during the month of Ramadan. A similar action plan for these 10 days and 10 nights. So consider it a mini Ramadan. That's what it is. It's like a mini Ramadan that we are about to experience. وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى. Elsewhere in the Quran, where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make mention of the 10 days and 10 nights of the Hijjah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَاعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلًا وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we appointed and fixed a meeting with Musa alayhi salam. We had appointed a time to meet Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam was given an appointment that you come and you are going to meet with Allah. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conversed and spoke to Musa alayhi salam openly. That was one of the privileges that he enjoyed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set a date. Oh, Musa alayhi salam, come. The meeting will last for 30 days. Musa alayhi salam comes. There's a meeting that takes place between him and Allah, and it lasts for 30 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the 30 days expired, when it was the last day of those 30 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. Allah says, but then, when the 30 days expired, we perfected those 30 days. أَتْمَمْنَاهَا. We perfected them by adding another 10 days. Which were those 10 days? The 30 days were the 30 days of Dhul-Qa'dah. We are now in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, the 11th month of the Islamic calendar. So the 30 days of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, when those 30 days expired, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected it, completed it with an additional 10 days. It was the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Mufassirin explained that during those 10 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to Musa alayhi salam those special commandments. The Torah, of course, was revealed to him in the month of Ramadan. But there were those 10 commandments that were revealed to Musa alayhi salam. Those commandments, the alwah, the slates that he was given, on which was written, these commandments, that was revealed to Musa alayhi salam during the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of those days, and we can see that those days had enjoyed significance already back then during the time of Musa alayhi salam. Some ahadith related to the significance and the greatness of the 10 days and nights of Dhul Hijjah. Probably next week, Friday night, should be the first of Dhul Hijjah, depending on the sighting of the moon. Right? So it gives us roughly a week to prepare ourselves and to gear ourselves up. Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about these days and these nights, and specifically the deed that is performed during these days and these nights of Dhul Hijjah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ma min ayyam al-amalu salihu fiha ahabbu ila Allah min hadhihi al-ayyam." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, "Listen, my Sahaba, there are no days. It's a general comment, it's a general remark. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there are absolutely no days in the year during which an act is more beloved to Allah than the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. Sahaba was surprised. Ya Rasulullah, walal jihad fi sabilillah. O Nabi of Allah, is the deed performed during the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, is it even better than the act of jihad? A person going and striving in the way of Allah against the enemy, it's even better than that if he does it outside of the 10 days. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا الْجِهَادَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Not even jihad fi sabili Allah can beat the act that is performed during the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Unless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a man goes out and he surrenders his life for Allah and he is martyred and he comes back with nothing, then of course there is no deed better than that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith, أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا. Again, general. He doesn't exempt anything from this comment. It's a general remark. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا. The best days in this world, the best days during your existence on earth, أَيَّامُ الْعَشْرِ. The first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. The best of days. If you can just take this hadith is enough to motivate you. This hadith is enough to tell you that, you know what? During those 10 days and 10 nights of the Hijjah, I really need to dedicate majority of my time to Allah Azza wa Jal. Brothers, you know, throughout the day, okay, the least, or the one whom we give the least amount of time to is Allah. Throughout our day. Okay? The least amount of time is given to Allah. Most of the time is dedicated towards our worldly affairs and commitments. The least amount of time is dedicated to Allah. But during the coming season of worship, let us spend more time, exert ourselves. We don't know if we are going to witness those days in the future. This could perhaps be the last moment and season of this type that we witness during this world. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, كَانَ يُقَالْ فِي أَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ بِكُلِّ يَوْمٍ أَلْفْ يَوْمٍ وَيَوْمَ عَرَفَ عَشَرَ أَلَافْ يَوْمٍ. Ibn Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that we were taught that بِكُلِّ يَوْمْ أَلْفْ يَوْمٍ, the last or the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, a deed performed during those days is equivalent to a deed that's consistently performed for 1,000 days. Right? And then the deed performed on the day of Arafah, he says, is equivalent to a deed consistently performed for 10 years. Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he comments on this. He says, why is the deed during those days, right, so great? That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it's the best deed that you can ever perform, the deed you perform during the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Why is that? He says, because it is the only time in the year when all forms of ibadat are carried out. Think about it. Right? You will be fasting. Okay, but we do fast in Ramadan as well. You will be giving charity, we give charity in Ramadan as well. You will wake up in the latter part of the night and pray to Allah, we do that in Ramadan as well. But it is the only time during the year when we offer sacrifices to Allah. The Qurbani is not done in any other time of the year. The Hajj, the pilgrimage is not performed except in those 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Hence Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, it is Jami'ul Ibadat. It is such a season of worship that combines and gathers within it all the different forms of acts of worship. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared it as the best time in the year for you to worship Allah. Now, we spoke about the discussion or debate amongst the scholars which period of season is better, the last 10 days and nights of Ramadan or the first 10 days and nights of Dhul Hijjah. Majority of the scholars maintain that the last 10 nights, the nights of Ramadan, are better than the first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. Why? Because those last 10 nights contain within it the best night, Laylatul Qadr. But the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the days from sunrise, from Fajr to sunset, from dawn to sunset, those 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are better than even the last 10 days of Ramadan. And this is the preferred view. Why? Because those 10 nights, they contain within them the best night of the year, and these 10 days contain within them the best day of the year, and that's Yawm Arafah, the day of Arafah. How do we prepare ourselves? We've got a week to go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. Allah says, we started off the pre-khutbah talk, speaking of Allah's mercy, and this disparity, right? So you find that the first 10 days and nights of Dhul Hijjah are very different to any other time in the year, and this difference that Allah has created is an exhibition of His mercy. So we are going to experience a season of worship. And anything that brings you closer to Allah and makes you come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal and makes you want to be closer to what Allah loves, that's mercy. That's just mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whenever you witness and experience Allah's mercy, rejoice. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. Rejoice. There must be excitement. There must be a sense of enthusiasm. Right? So there must be a build-up. It's like when there's a wedding in the family. Okay? Think about the days leading to the wedding. There's excitement. There's happiness. There's joy. There's preparation. There's just a nice atmosphere. There's a good mood. Right? As we are going to witness that wedding. That should be the mood in my home. Right? So let me take this back home. And let me sit with my wife, let me sit with my daughter, let me sit with my kids. And let us read about the first 10 days and nights of Dhul Hijjah. To create that vibe and to create that energy and that mood within the home, that everyone has one focal point. And that is to maximize from the benefit, maximize from the significance and the greatness of these days that we are about to experience. I leave you with a statement of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He has advised us, what do you do during the 10 days and 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah? Of course, the 10th day is the day of Eid. So the first 9 days and 9 nights. An Abi Darda radiallahu ta'ala qal, annahu qa alaykum bisawmi ayyam al-ashr. He says, number one, fast. Try and fast every one of those 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. Try and fast. If you can't all 9, as many as you can. Fast one, skip one. If you can't do that much, then try and fast the Monday and the Thursday. If you can't even do that much, right, then at least the day of Arafah. That's the best day to fast on. So number one, he says fast, right? Wa ikthari du'a. He says make a lot of du'a. Exert yourself in du'a, right? And the best du'a, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, khayru du'a, du'a yawmi Arafah. The best du'a that you can ever make in your life is a du'a that you make on the day of Arafah. Wal istighfar. Make a lot of istighfar. Was sadaqa fiha. You're going to set an amount for every day, right? 10 rand a day, 20 rand a day, right? For every day, you are going to give out that amount during the last 10 days and nights of the first 10 days and nights of Dhul Hijjah. And he says, why am I asking you to do all this? He says, فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ نَبِيَّكُمْ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ. I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, الْوَيْلِ لِمَنْ حُرِمَ خَيْرَ أَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the most wretched and misfortunate person, the most wretched and unfortunate person is the one who's deprived of the goodness that the first 10 days and nights of Dhul Hijjah have to offer. May Allah ta'ala grant us the understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.